Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games. Brought to you by Oarock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of Oarock.
I'm Michael Gray, the tech support guru for Oarock.
How are we doing today, Michael?
I don't know. For everybody who doesn't know, we're starting this podcast like 20 minutes late because Discord didn't like the sound of my voice or something like that. It's still not showing up that I'm talking. You can hear me, but Discord isn't telling you that I'm talking. Is that correct?
That is correct. Discord is actively rebelling against us recording the podcast today.
So it thinks I'm silent, but hopefully
today, like, a holiday, and it's like you shouldn't be working today. It's like National Daughter's Day or something, right?
Yeah. I've never heard of that before. Was that made up this year?
Probably. Well, I feel like every week we have a day where it's like National Pizza Day or National Dog Day or something. So how did you celebrate National Daughter's Day?
I did not. No, I need like advance warning for what these days are going to be.
Yeah, Twitter needs to trend this stuff like the week before, not the day of.
Yeah, it feels like, yeah, those holidays were just made to sell stuff. Like National Pizza Day, sponsored by Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's exactly what it is. Let's see.
Well, really, I feel like these days happen like multiple times a year, too. It's just like some person with a lot of followers on Twitter just says, hey, it's Pizza Day, happy Pizza Day, hashtag Pizza Day. And then that's the only thing that makes it Pizza Day.
Like, I feel like they've got Burger Day, they've got Cheeseburger Day, and Hamburger Day. Like, that sort of thing. Because, you know, McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's all have to have their own separate day for
it. Of course. Well, we're finally here. We're together. We are both Audible. So let's talk about some game stuff. What do you say?
Okay, so National Dessert Day, Friday, October 14th. You have all been warned. Pasta Day, Monday, October 17th. And then Cat Day on the 29th.
Wait, there's a Cat Day on October the 29th?
Yeah, we should do something, I guess.
Well, we should be releasing the Cat President games on the 29th.
I guess, yeah.
Okay, video games, though.
Video games. So
I think we have like three different projects we could be talking about. I'm wondering if you have a preference or should I just go down the list here?
Just go down the list. I only know what like two of them are, so I'll be surprised at what mystery number three is.
I think number three will not be a very exciting mystery for you.
Uh-oh. Okay.
You'll be like, oh yeah, I know about that when we get to it. But first up on my list, we just announced, it'll have been a couple of weeks ago by the time you're hearing this podcast, but we just announced that we are in the preliminary, very, very early stages of making Cat President 3.
Do-do-do!
Which I can't speak for Michael, but I think it was almost as much a surprise to me that we're doing it as it might have been to any of our fans out there.
I don't know. Did people really not like the second game?
It's not that they didn't like it. It just the sales were for me disappointing, and I don't have a strong answer for why. Because the reviews have been pretty positive across the board. I feel like the people who have played both of them definitely like both of them. Maybe they even prefer the second one. It's just that we were never able to find our audience for whatever reason with the second game.
Yeah, that's strange.
Very annoying.
I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I don't know. So I think for me, like, after the second game came out and we saw those sales figures, like, I wasn't sure if I wanted to make a third one at that point just because, you know, it was a lot of work for not as many sales as we would have hoped for. But comparing it to our... If you don't compare it to the Cat President 1, comparing it to other games, it did fine. It just didn't compete with the juggernaut that was the first game.
Well, I also feel like part of the problem was just just the election, I guess. The 2016 election was more entertaining than the 2020 election. Well, 2020 was just a disaster dumpfire year, just in general, to be honest. And everybody's mad and angry. But didn't the first Cap President game come out like 2015?
No, it came out in 2016 for the 2016 election.
Okay, yeah. All right, same year as the election.
Yeah, because we released both of them like a month before the presidential elections of those years, so 2016 and 2020. Wow, that's weird to think about. So Cap President 2 came out during the pandemic?
Yeah, it must have.
That doesn't feel right. But yeah, I don't know. I'm really excited to start on the third game now because after working on Cap President 1 making the updates, which we might get into a little later in the podcast, it reminded me that just they're good games. They're fun games. They're fun games to make. So I'm pretty pumped to get started on this.
Yeah, I am, I guess, I wouldn't say less pumped, but I'm...
Oh.
Now I've got to figure out, like, ideas. I think what we've got now is just, like, a list of various ideas, and then I need to somehow turn that into a storyline.
Sure.
So, yeah, with all of them, it's like, I know what Chapter 1 is, I know what Chapter 2 is, and then after that, I'm like, I have no idea what would happen in Chapter 3 or any of the other chapters in this pathway. I used up all my ideas on the first two chapters, and that happened with Pathway 1... Pathway 2, there is one exception that was in Cap President 2. I did have like a vague outline for the twins pathway. In that case, right. It's only two sentences per chapter, but it's like, hey, that's sort of a completely finished pathway already done. Yeah.
That's good.
And then now I need to figure out how to work the other like 20 ideas into stories.
Well, there are a few things that might be able to help with the planning. So one thing that we always sort of need to figure out when we're starting a new Cap President game is we need to figure out who the current Cap President is, right? So like in Cap President 2, for example, there are six different pathways you can go through. Then there are seven different cats that can end up as the president, depending on, you know, various decisions that you make throughout the game, depending on which characters you choose to play as or which paths you decide to follow. But when you're making a sequel, you sort of have to figure out which one of those pathways, which one of those results is the thing that actually happened, because we can't have seven different presidents in this game. It just doesn't make sense. We have to figure out which one of those things actually happened, what's real, what's canon. The way that we did this before and the way we are doing it this time is we ran a poll on Steam, on the Steam page for Cap President, and we just asked people to vote on which of the candidates from that game should be the president going forward. So in this instance, we had all six cat candidates from Cap President 2. We had, what are they, Banders, Poopsie the Ninth, Kaleidoscope, Mr. Biscuits, Fee.Line.
Oh, in my mind, I always call him Poopsie IX. I don't know why.
Oh,
I know
you
it's
really?
Just a personal choice, but... So.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, I've definitely never read it that way.
I
that's really funny.
Call it, like, Ix or anything, but that was something I was thinking about. And it's like, well, should there be, like, a Poopsie X in the game? Or Poopsie 10?
Sure.
Which is, I guess, a possibility, because apparently Poopsie IX did not become president.
Earl Grey, that's the other one.
Earl Grey, yes.
Poopsie 10, huh? Or sorry, Poopsie X. Poopsie X, that sounds like a serial killer. Just throwing that out there. I feel like I would that's a horror movie that I would see. So yeah, we had an election, and I had been posting about this the last several weeks on Twitter and Facebook, and I'm now ready, Michael, to announce the official results.
All right, okay.
You've probably figured it out already.
Poopsie, poopsie, poopsie.
But the winner was not one of those six cats, but it was, in fact, the incumbent DJ Nibbles, President DJ Nibbles, is going on for a second term in Cat President 3.
Oh, man. Is it... isn't it like a third term now? Because it's a third game, or am I wrong?
No, because DJ Nibbles wasn't the president in Cat President 1.
Okay.
So he won the presidency in Cat President 1, so he served for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then in Cat President 2, he was the current president. And now, based on the election we held on Steam, he won in Cat President 2 for another 4-year term.
Okay, okay. So he's at the end of his 4-year term.
Yes, exactly.
That's, okay. Wow, I thought...
Uh-oh.
Oh, man, I thought you meant that we were going to have a DJ Nibbles pathway in Cat President 3.
No,
and he's
I'm
running
sorry.
For a
no,
third
I
election.
Didn't.
Oh, whoops.
No, I'm sorry. No, I meant that he was the incumbent president and he won his second term and we're now at the tail end of his term, so he's like a lame duck president in Cat President 3.
But he's not a duck, he's a cat.
He's a lame cat president.
I'm not that lame, bro, he says.
Extremely rude.
I feel so bad because isn't there a joke along one of the pathways where one of the cats tries to sing Young and Hip, probably Earl Grey, by, like...
Yes, it is.
...playing on a skateboard or something? And didn't, like, Old Man with a Skateboard heckle him or something like that?
Oh... Poor Earl Grey. I was wondering, so if he had won, I might have pushed for him to die while he was in office, because he was already 19 years old.
Ow. Ow. Poor Earl.
But no, we have DJ Nibbles in his second term. It was actually kind of a blowout, to be honest. There were a few cats that were getting close. I think it was Banders and Mr. Biscuits were close-ish to Nibbles, but it's still, he won by a pretty wide margin.
All right.
People love DJ Nibbles.
Well, okay, well then I'll scratch out the DJ Nibbles pathway.
Oops. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was going to ask
if he was running for a third term. They changed the constitution just to let him run again.
So that's actually... that's a couple bullet points down on my bullet list, is actually discussing something to that effect. So give me a few minutes.
All right.
but I did want to say, while we're on the subject of this, someone on Steam, Flashman85, had a really good idea if Mr. Biscuits had managed to pull it off. He said that his daughter should be one of the candidates running against him in the next election.
Oh.
That would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a good one. I must have misread that comment, because I know there's one storyline or something where, maybe even two endings, where somebody serves two terms and then their vice president's spouse serves two terms immediately after.
Oh, yeah.
And they just dominate the presidency. And I guess it's implied their children take over as well. And then it's just all over at that point. The DJ Nibbles lineage just goes on forever and ever. I don't know.
Having recently replayed Cat President 1, I can tell you that that's the bad ending of... I think it's like Kale's bad ending. He gets together with the rival in the other party. And then that's what happens. They nominate each other. They nominate each other as each other's vice president and then switch for the next election. And yeah, their kids... So that's a bad ending from Cat President 1 that you're thinking
okay,
of.
Okay, good. I should probably replay those games just to remember everything. Yes.
Like Fluffy is no. It's that white cat that appears in both games.
Oh yeah, I remember. That's
the scary looking one that you made me pick a less scary picture for the second game.
The scary Persian cat. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, the Persian cat, exactly.
Well, I figured that it made sense if she's less scary in the second game, because all the characters in the second game are from the other political party. They're on the same team as her, so she doesn't scare them as much.
Oh,
they like her a
I
lot
like that,
more.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, to the and that's just how it works in politics in general. Like, oh man, this person on the other party is super duper scary and crazy and insane, but you know, to people in the other party, they seem totally normal.
Yeah, so I think that's one piece that will help us in figuring out what the story is knowing that, one, that DJ Nibbles is the incumbent president, but two, he is likely not seeking a third term at this point, so he's very likely a lame duck slash cat president. So
Okay. Maybe
that'll help us kind of fill in some of the gaps. Something else that I think might help is figuring out what the name of the game is going to be. So you and I talked about this a bit through email, and one of the things I think we landed on, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we don't want to call it Cat President 3. Is that correct? We want to call it like Cat President colon something.
Yeah, that's what my wife said. She thought people were scared, thought they had to play through the first game all the way through.
Yes.
I don't know if that's a problem. I don't know how realistic of a problem that is. But, I mean, you mentioned the Fast and Furious movies. Like, I mean, people still watch them not having seen all 8 of the previous ones. But then again, if we're talking about, like, you know, Iron Man or Captain America movies, they stop at 3, they seem to.
Mm.
Don't they?
Or if you think about, like, the Phoenix Wright games, none of those have numbers in the titles.
Yeah.
So that was actually my thought with Cat President 2. That was something that I had been thinking about, is whether we should put 2 in the title or not, for the same reason your wife mentioned. Like, will it scare off potential new players? And I feel like if that is a problem, and I don't know that it is, but if it is a problem, it would only get worse with the third game.
Mm-hmm.
Because then people are like, oh man, I can't play this until I play the first 2. We can think about it, but I did have the thought that, yeah, speaking of Fast and the Furious, what they do is, like, instead of saying Fast and the Furious 2, they incorporate 2 into, like, the title or subtitle of the film, so the second one is, like, Too Fast, Too Furious, which perhaps that's psychologically less scary. Then, like, you see a movie with that, that just sounds like a movie. It doesn't necessarily sound like a sequel that you have to see the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So, thinking along those lines, I spent some time earlier today searching phrases that have 3 or third or trio or, like, whatever in the phrase to see if there's anything in there that we could use as a subtitle.
All right.
So I have a list here. I don't think, I'm not sure any of them are anything, but I wanted to just kind of speak them into the world. Maybe they'll inspire you, or maybe they'll inspire one of our listeners to come up with something that's actually good. But yeah, I have a few things that I'd written down. Let's see. I had Cat President, third time's the charm. Cat President, third-rate candidate. Third string.
Third-rate candidate. Oh, that's a fun one.
There's a phrase, I guess, three-dog night. It could also be three-cat night. Three-ring circus. There's
three-ring circus.
And baby makes 3, so it could be, like, kitten makes 3. Something about, a third-degree burn or giving someone the third degree. The third eye, the third rail, triple whammy, triple threat. And here is something that I thought I might have landed on something here. So I had the idea, the third party, or third party candidate, or third party catnidate, wait for it, or third party cat to date.
Cat to date. What is this?
Okay, that one's awful. But third party, like Cat President, the third party kind of got my wheels turning a little bit. Like, I can see a game that's somehow about the rise of a third party. Like, because DJ Nibbles can't run again, so now the field is more open than it has been in a long time. Or it could be something like DJ Nibbles decides to run for a third time. Maybe he's mad with power, and he finds a loophole in the Constitution that says he can do this, or that he can declare himself president for life. He can declare himself president for life if he wins the next election. Like, if he wins a third election, he can just be president forever. And, like, the other party just, for whatever reason, gives up and decides not even to bother running against him, because because there's no point. And then a third party emerges to challenge the establishment, something like that.
Third party.
It's just kind of a... Yeah, the third party. So that was a thought I had. And then that, I feel like that sets up well with the idea for a subtitle you had, which was Run for Your Life. Run for Your Life.
Yeah.
The fourth game. So that was something I thought of. I don't know if there's anything in that idea or if any of the other subtitles I mentioned, you seemed a like third-rate candidate.
Yeah, I don't have to think of this.
Yeah, so just stuff to think about. Nothing to decide right this second.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's why I wanted to pause earlier when you were saying like about DJ Nibbles finding like a change in the Constitution or whatever to run for a third time. So that sort of dovetailed into those things I was thinking about.
Yeah, I guess the question would be then, which political party are we following? The Sharp Claws or the Fancy Furballs?
Yeah. Or are we following the third party itself? Six, like, independent candidates, not affiliated with either party.
Yeah, I guess that's something we can figure out. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like third party stuff is always sort of, like, something that people are talking about every election. I feel like they're talking about it more and more. So that's what made me think, yeah.
As soon as we get, like, a really popular person, I guess, running for president, then that will, like, destroy all talk about a viable third party. Because I think with the last election, wasn't it, like, both candidates were historically unpopular?
I believe that is accurate. Yeah, so you're saying as soon as we get The Rock running, people will be like, yes, that's it. We only need one party, really, whatever The Rock's party is.
Yeah. Well, there is like some candidate that won like 40 states, wasn't it?
Was there?
Let's take a look.
See. Candidate who won the most states, yeah.
Oh man, the 1980 election. That is a landslide.
George Washington won a pretty significant number.
Was anybody running against him?
Proportionally speaking, I'm not sure anybody was. But proportionally speaking, he did pretty well.
Yeah, 1980, 44 states. 44 states versus 6 states. That was really lopsided.
Let's see, Wikipedia is giving me a list, and it gives me a percentage, but I can't tell if that percentage is, like, popular votes or electoral college BS.
I think it's all electoral college. I can't tell.
Yeah. Well, it seems to be saying that, like, Reagan did, like, really well, for example.
No, that's why I was saying the 1980 election, he won 44 states. So, I mean, that's probably a victory in Electoral College and popular votes.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine someone winning that many states now, except for The Rock.
Except for The Rock. He would win more. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. The Rock would win 58 states.
Wait, the 1984, him running for re-election, he won by an even larger margin.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, so this must be why everybody's always talking about how much they like Ronald Reagan. They probably just like that margin of victory there.
Man, that's interesting. I wonder, like, in our lifetime, are we ever going to see anything like that again? Because I feel like, right, like, it's just... people just vote along party lines for everything now. Mm-hmm. Like, for Reagan to win by that much, there must have been a significant number of people crossing party lines to vote for him. And I don't know how that happens anymore.
That, yeah. Gosh, 49 states. Minnesota was the only holdout in this 1984 election.
Wow.
The only one that didn't vote for him.
Geez, so not even like New York or California. Well, I guess California, he was from California.
Yeah.
But,
Nope, not New York, not California.
The other thing I wanted to briefly touch upon for Cat President 3 was I've been trying very hard to use some of these AI art generators to make an old version of DJ Nibbles. Because it's been 8 years or whatever. He's probably not a kitten anymore.
Yeah. Do we have a picture of the actual cat? Can you track down that cat?
That's the problem, is that that cat is already a composite of different cat parts.
Oh, no!
So I might be able to figure out who, I think it was Nicolas Suprak's cat was the head and torso. check in with Niccolo to see how his cat's doing. But yeah, that was something I was trying to figure out, is if we, like, at this point should be aging any of these characters, especially any, if we have any reoccurring characters from the first game, if they should be aging or not. I guess we establish in the bonus pathway, no, not in the bonus pathway, in one of the pathways of Cat President 2, that DJ Nibbles does have a human form at this point.
That's right, yeah.
So that could also be something that comes into play, like he could turn to that form permanently. Like, that's something we've established that cat politicians do in this universe.
Yeah.
To live a quiet human life somewhere. But I don't know. Maybe he gets assassinated by the serial killer Poopsy X.
I don't know about that.
And then the empty podium becomes president. Do you think DJ Nibbles kept the empty podium as his running mate?
No, I don't know.
Anyway, was there? That was sort of what was on my list for Cat President 3 specifically. Was there anything that you wanted to talk about regarding the game? Anything that you thought of while we're talking
here?
No,
I just shut my folder where I was putting the notes for Cat President, so... Oh, I guess, like, Supreme Court drama. Did that make sense? I don't know what we would do with that.
Yeah. It's one of the candidates try to pack the court. And they just add like 40 new people to the Supreme Court.
Oh, wouldn't that be crazy times?
Yeah.
I did like how you identified who some of these people were, because I don't pay super close attention to politics, but it's like I've heard this politician's name over and over again. It's like, oh, that's who that person is.
Yeah, I went through a list of like popular politicians famous politicians in 2022 to see if we could come up with any other candidates for Cat President 3 that are semi based on a true story. We have some stuff to work on. I don't know if there was anything in that list that was useful or not. I'm going to continue pushing for the cat who's running because he's a criminal and he thinks if he becomes president, he won't be prosecuted for it, because I think that's really
just
funny.
Issue himself a presidential pardon, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's one of those things where, I guess right now we're still kind of in a holding pattern. I don't know if that makes sense. We're not sure who's running for president yet. I feel like...
Yeah.
With Cat President 1, everybody had already, like, everybody and their mom declared they were running for president.
Yeah.
But now it's just, we don't know who's going to be running. I don't know.
I guess, yeah, things are different because in that election, there wasn't an incumbent that could or could not be running. And right now, like, we don't even know if Joe Biden's going to run, so that sort of hamstrings the possibility of any Democrats coming forward. And we also don't know if Trump's going to be running, so that sort of hamstrings Republicans from putting their names in the hat, too.
To be fair, we haven't even gotten to, like, I mean, Joe Biden's not halfway through his term, right?
That's
so
true.
So I really don't like it when people declare 2 years before the over 2 years before the election that they're going to run. That's like, blah.
Yeah.
But that's just my personal preference.
I mean, I don't feel like we're in like a huge rush to really figure stuff out. I found some tools that I think are going to help make development of Cat President 3 go a little faster than 2. Specifically, I found an online tool that's really good at removing the backgrounds from pictures. So when we're adding, like, one of the problems with Cat President 2 was that all of our human characters, they all had like half a dozen to a dozen different poses. And so I had to, you know, edit each one individually by hand to remove the background so I could put them in the game. And that took a significant amount of time. But since I found a tool that seems to work pretty consistently well for doing that, that could really speed things up on the programming and art end.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something we have working in our advantage this time.
Yeah, I was going to say your earlier comment about the 2016 election was correct, because just with our current election in Oregon, we don't have an incumbent governor. And then it just feels like both sides are trying extra hard because nobody's got the incumbency advantage. So both sides are thinking this is their moment. All the people that have been waiting 12 years or 8 years, yeah. It's like, oh, it's finally time. Or they'll just nominate the previous vice president candidate, and that person will get to go for two terms, and you'll just have to wait for another 8 years. Sorry, presidential hopefuls.
That does seem like how it works. Frequently. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh, I guess, I'd ask how... I mean, you said Earl Grey would be the one cat who would be dead. Are there any of the other cats who would not be still alive?
I think anybody from the first game is pretty touch and go at this point, right? Because however old they are, you have to add 8 years
to
it.
Yeah, how long do cats live?
So that's what I'm saying. Like, even if DJ Nibbles is like 2, he's a senior cat by now. You know, Kale Thunderpaw certainly was not like the youngest person, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, it's saying cats are like 12 to
Dr. Nom Noms. Like, all of these cats, I think, if they haven't gone through with the... How do you pronounce the word that is
isn't
the
it's just Catu Transformatio, isn't it?
Yeah, so any cats who haven't gotten the surgery to become human, I think, could certainly be considered senior cats at this point, or deceased cats. Either way.
So here's the thing. We checked with our dog, actually. And they kind of moved that up. So, like, they moved up what's considered a senior dog by, like,
really?
A year or two. So, I think she's, like, 6 or 7 years. Yeah. And they're like, nope, this counts as a senior dog for the purposes of whatever. I guess I'll look that up just now. But we were shocked. It's like, how is she a senior dog? She's, like, 6.
Oh, puppy.
I guess she... Seven now, yeah.
Oh, she's still a puppy. Well, all right. I just
she's middle-aged dog.
The first response on Google: senior cats are 11 to 14, and then over 14, they are super senior cats.
Okay. So with dogs, it's saying that well, large dogs they're considered seniors at like 7 years old. The smaller dogs are like 11 years old, but for I guess for some purposes, they just go by the large dog's age, and so they just consider 7 to be a senior dog no matter what. So that's it. So most of the cats are senior cats, okay.
That's what I would imagine. Certainly from the first game, I think from the second game, that they're probably all fine, except for Earl Grey, who is absolutely dead.
Yeah, this is so sad.
Well, that's why I was toying with the idea. I think I mentioned to you it would be interesting if we'd visited the presidential library of a former cat president. But yeah, I mean, DJ Nibbles is still the current president, so that doesn't make sense. Like, if DJ Nibbles had lost the election, then he might have his presidential library built by now. But he's still the current president, so that doesn't make sense. Save that for Cat President 4, maybe.
That's another question with Cat President 2. So I know I'm like pretty much all the bad pathways in Cat President 2. You lose the election to DJ Nibbles.
Yeah.
So then the question would be, which of those bad pathways
is
the one that actually happened? Do we just give that, I think...
Oh.
Who was in second place? Was it Banders or someone else?
Yeah, sorry, I think it was either Banders or Mr. Biscuits. Give me 1 second. I can get the vote total up.
So I guess I'd just look up and see which of their bad endings was more interesting and say that's the official.
Okay, first place was DJ Nibbles. Second was Banders. Third was Mr. Biscuits. And then Feline, Earl Grey, and Kaleidoscope were all tied. And then Poopsie IX was in last place with 0 votes.
Why? Why do they all hate Poopsie?
Nobody liked Poopsie.
Oh, that's an oopsie poopsie problem.
Maybe that should be the bad ending then. Poopsie came in dead last.
All right.
Oh.
I'll just pull out the Banders bad ending and see what it looks like.
I feel like a lot of these bad endings are always super depressing, too, so that'll be interesting.
Well, I mean, it makes a difference. Like, some of the bad endings are not that you lose the election. Some of them are just you don't get nominated, period.
Oh, I see.
I don't know. I guess if somebody cared a whole lot, they could probably figure out how that works. Because, say, like, Banders' bad ending, he loses the nomination to Poopsie. And that could happen in the same universe as Poopsie's bad ending.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think what we need to do is go back and write a new DJ Nibbles pathway for Cat President 2.
Before I do?
Well, I guess he already has his own, but his bonus pathway is set during Cat President 1. Oh, so confusing.
Let's see, Banders totally... Oh, yeah, the Banders bad ending. He totally fails the debate, and then DJ Nibbles prank calls him. And Poopsie got the nomination in Banders' bad ending. That is exactly what happened. Oh, wow, my guess was correct. I mean, I did write it, but how am I supposed to remember something I wrote 4 years ago?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if it ever becomes important, we'll have to figure out who DJ Nibbles beat for his reelection.
Yeah, I mean, it might not even come up.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Moms game. We both did a little bit of work on it. You did a significant amount of work. I know you went through all of the revisions that I gave you last month.
Yes, I finally got those back to you. It felt like it took me forever.
Yes.
But
it didn't take you as long as it took me. You're fine.
Well, hopefully it will be faster now. I seem to remember with Pizza Delivery Boy, You Saved the World, each successive revision got faster because I just looked for... What were the changes that were made to the script?
Yep, I can tell you I've gotten through the intro and half of the first pathway already, and I haven't really done much of anything to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of just accept change. All right, we don't need this comment anymore. Delete comment. A lot of that stuff. Not a lot of additional changes, so I believe you're correct.
Hooray!
Should not take long. And I know you've been playing around with the art a little bit as well. That's fun.
Yep, you sent me responses. I'll look through them and figure out what I'm going to do. I put that on my to-do list.
Yeah, cool.
Let's see, you generated AI art for the nerdy mom, and then I drew like two pictures of the nerdy mom to try to figure out, okay, what works, what doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my next... step, I don't know if I'm going to draw it again or make the change, or if I'll just make those changes in Photoshop. Like, one of the changes is Nerdy Mom has glasses. Do we want oval glasses or do we want big circle glasses? It's like, that's easily something you could do either way.
Yep. I think I already forget what I said. I think I said that was one of the things I didn't have a strong preference on.
The oval, you like the oval glasses. I'm not really sure I have a preference, though.
Yeah. There were a few of these things like, whatever you think is best, I'm not going to fight you.
Yeah, and then the white spots on the eyes. I'll just do whatever I think is best. I'll just try out both see which one looks best. I know, like, when you're drawing eyes, there are, like, three places where you can put white spots, and they look perfectly normal in real life. There's the refracted crescent, I think is the term for one of them. And I forget the other one, the light life? And I don't know what the other one is.
That is way too fancy for me. I was saddened to see that the detective mom art that I generated has been rejected.
I haven't looked through it. I like it.
Maybe we can use it somewhere else and we're in a different game someday.
No, I mean, which one?
It doesn't fit your vision of the character, right? Because you envision them more wearing like kind of a 90s outfit, not like a detective outfit.
Yeah, but then you'll notice I went ahead and then put like a 90s fanny pack on one of the other characters instead.
Oh, I thought that was the same character.
No, oops. Different.
Oh, which one's this?
I thought that was Philosophy Mom's now got a fanny
That's
pack.
That's Philosophy Mom with the fanny pack.
I did not touch Detective Mom yet.
You
Detective
did.
Mom
oh,
looks
my
really
bad.
Awesome,
I'm sorry.
Actually.
Yeah, I was pretty proud of how Detective Mom came out.
I thought Detective Mom had like a side bag, but I guess I was thinking of Professor Layton's daughter, and so it's like, well, I can't change her side bag into a fanny pack or purse because she doesn't have one.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, that's exciting then that Detective Mom is still on the table. The detective art that I came up with is still on the table.
Yeah, what I'll want to do, Detective Mom is wearing a hat. I'll need to at least think of some way to, like, have the hat come off. Because we want to have their character hold the hat in her hands or something.
Okay, I can try to run another version of it where I can, like, erase the hat and erase the hand and try to tell it to put a hat in her hand.
It's totally easy. I mean, that hat is done in such a way that it'd be really easy just to draw hair. Like, the hat does not cover that much hair. It is more, that's more of a stylish hat than it is a purposeful hat, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah.
I can also, like, yeah, I think the program allows me to, like, erase parts of the picture, and then it'll generate something else to fill in that space. So if I go in there and, like, erase the hat, it'll generate a different top of her head, which would hopefully involve hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird thing. I really love playing with it. I started working on a beach background today, but then I ran out of my free credits for the month.
All right.
So that's where we are with the mom game.
Yeah, so that's where I am. I'm going to take a look at it at some point. It's on the list.
And I guess we're running out of time, but since I teased it earlier, the third project I was going to briefly mention was just the updates to Cat President 1 itself.
Oh, no, I thought there was like a surprise secret game.
I told you you'd be disappointed. I've been secretly working on the Game Boy Advance version of my Nigerian prince.
Yes!
Literally just going to say that I got all the replacement models, got them all in the game, all the replacement music and backgrounds. That's all done. And I'm hopeful that the new version that I've been working on will be up on Steam and itch.io like in the next month. And ditto for Cat President 2, as I'm replacing characters that are in both games, so I'll have to change them in the second game too. But that's all done now.
So. Hooray.
That's all. Would you like to talk about listener questions?
Sure.
All right, we have one from Joe Reviewer. We actually got several questions on Discord this month. Very exciting.
Whoa, Joe people Reviewer. Are on Discord. This is amazing.
I discovered this cool thing, Michael, that lets me tag everyone. And
that sounds terrible. Oh, no.
I know. I'm going to have to add. The problem is that it worked. And I tagged everyone and asked for questions, and we got 3 questions that way. I might have to ask, was that really annoying? Should I never do that again?
Okay.
But it was effective this month. So Joe Reviewer on Discord asked us, after watching people play your games on the internet, what do you think makes a good playthrough / commentary for visual novel games like yours?
Oh, man. I wish I knew. Like, that would be helpful, because I feel like I've been struggling. One of the games I've been playing recently has been Great Ace Attorney 2. I recently got back into that after 9 months. So I played the first 2 cases of the game, and I'm playing the third. I just played through the third case of the game, and the third case is like longer than cases 1 and 2 combined. So it's like 11 hours, and I was really struggling on how to do commentary for that, because I feel like Cat President as well is also kind of so long that if you do the thing of reading every single line out loud, that just gets annoying, even if you're making silly voices the whole time.
Oh, I love the silly voices, though.
They are good, yeah.
One thing I found cool when I watch people play through games, our games, which I do far too much, I like it when there are like multiple people streaming the game, because I really enjoy the banter between the two people, but also they can each take like separate voices. Like, you know, one person takes X characters, one person takes Y characters. And I imagine that improves the vocal load for each of those people. But I also just enjoy watching it. In general, I enjoy streams and let's plays where there are multiple people in the video. I just find the interaction very entertaining typically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I've enjoyed.
I know what I did with the original Phoenix Wright walkthrough, which I think is the one that most people have watched, is you know, I just comment on what's going on and for the most part just let the readers read the dialogue instead of trying to read every line of dialogue out loud. I know we did the same thing with the 9 hours, 9 persons, 9 doors.
Yeah, well, see, in those ones, we got wildly distracted, I think partially because we weren't reading the dialogue, right?
Yeah.
or maybe that was just me being in there. I kept getting bored and talking about other things.
Well, I mean, that's sort of the problem I've been facing with the Great Ace Attorney 2 is it's like, oh, I don't want to be mean, but I just kind of just really dislike the Sherlock Holmes character.
Really? He was the part I liked the most. I find that very interesting.
But I mean, I guess because I'm worried about the time because I'm always watching the clock, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, this video has to be 20 minutes long and I want to come to a stopping point. And he's just going to spend 10 minutes telling me that he's not going to tell me anything.
Yeah. Well, I loved how you put it on Twitter. I thought it was absolutely perfect. I have your tweet open here. It says, "It feels like the author was told to write a 50,000 word game, but they misread it as 500,000 word game, and no one caught the mistake until it was too late." And that perfectly describes my experience with the game as well. A lot of people talking about a lot of nothing for a lot of time, and with a good editor, that game would have been half the length. Easily.
Definitely. I wish that this, I'm in this case number 3, because that's the one I just played, that it was only 1 day of investigation and not 2, and I think that could have happened. Because what we have situations like where the second day of investigation, where Sherlock Holmes, his only role is to, he opens up a new area for you to explore, which is the back area of the waxworks factory. And it's like, but because just like the way the game works in general, if you're talking to a character, you're going to talk to them about 4 different things. Even though, like, story-wise, there's really no reason for that. We don't have anything to talk to Sherlock Holmes about for 10 to 15 minutes. We really only need him to open that area, which is where we really need to explore.
I see. So then when you're recording yourself playing the game, then if you're reading all the dialogue, you're reading all of this kind of boring dialogue that just makes everything take 10 times longer than it needs to.
I guess Sherlock is just he's mean. He's just kind of mean to our main character. He's always laughing at him. It feels like that was probably just something that was hard to translate. I'm not sure.
Sure.
When he bursts out in the laughter, half the time I'm not understanding the joke he's making at my expense, but I get the sense he's just making a joke at the expense of the main character. But Sherlock is definitely doing it with too much of the, I know something, but I will refuse to tell you what it is. Another thing that bothers me with Sherlock is, I know you really like the, was it the great deduction stuff that you do with him?
Oh, the dance of deduction. I don't know where I saw that phrase, but yes. I like those scenes where he points at stuff and you have to point at the right things because he's being an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, those are fun, but, I mean, you time them. They're like 25 to 30 minutes each.
Yeah.
Because you get to hear his whole deduction for, like, a 5-minute thing, and then you have to go through it line by line by line again. And it just makes me wish that, well, what if we only went through it one time, line by line by line? That would probably cut down on it. It'd probably make more sense, too, instead of it's like, no, Sherlock, there is no anti-gravity machine. We know that's wrong. I don't need to hear you make 5 more minutes of deductions based on the fact that there's an anti-gravity machine. Although, I mean, you're laughing now. That is a funny premise to just hear him go on and on and on about this obviously false thing.
I know exactly. I'm laughing because it's true.
But I am just, you know, it's like I want to rush through the walkthrough. I want to point out the mistake. I don't want to. Yeah, I don't know. So yeah,
I 100% agree with you in that. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think those scenes definitely could have been sped up, and yeah, maybe that's the solution, is you don't have to go through the whole thing one time first, where you hear all the dumb wrong answers. Maybe just, yeah, point stuff out as he goes.
Yeah, and I feel like this, I feel like the game has still not done anything interesting with this Iris character. I feel kind of bad for her.
No, she, that's the main girl, right?
Yeah, she writes the Sherlock Holmes stories.
Oh, okay. His
and
his,
she likes making
his, quote,
tea.
The daughter, then. That's the daughter.
Yeah,
character.
And like okay. making... No, I think they are doing enough with Suzato. She's an interesting character.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, because I thought the first case, that's the one where she's the one actually trying the case, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. Yeah, but Iris, you know, she spends like half the case. She's your assistant because Suzato's not there. So we see an awful lot of her, but I feel like she doesn't have too much to contribute to the story.
Well, Joe, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I'm sorry I got off topic, but this is a podcast about playing games and making games, and I wanted to talk about this game.
We have a couple more questions, anyway, but I think we can get through them pretty quickly. This one we can definitely get through very quickly. Clawbert Downey Jr. asks, tell us more about those mom pictures you posted the other day. Is this for a future project? And yes. So I had shared on Twitter some of the AI-generated character portraits that I've been working on for the game that we were talking about earlier today. You can see them on Twitter. Anyone can see them on Twitter right now if they want, at Paul M. Franzen. So yeah, those were just character portraits for the game that we are currently calling the Mom Game, because we haven't settled on a final title yet. So yes, that is a future project. I hope that answers your question, Mr. Downey. And we got one more question from the Crowbar, who wants to know, will the, quote, recast version of Cat President be a separate game or an update to the existing game? It will be, this is Paul talking, not the Crowbar, it will be an update to the existing game. This won't be like Cat President HD or Cat President Remake or anything. This is just me replacing the current version of Cat President that has a lot of stock photos in it to a newer version of Cat President that has fewer stock photos in it.
A visual update, yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to keep the original graphics, I guess don't update your game. Should we start wrapping up?
Yep. Are there any new games you've been playing, I guess?
Oh, man. Yeah, there is.
I think
Return
there might
to
be
Monkey
one.
Island.
Yeah.
Return to Monkey Island. Ah, oh, we can't talk about it because I'm only a half hour into it, unfortunately. but I can embarrass myself about it if you would like to hear that.
Oh man, so this is it's a new Monkey Island game, and they got the old crew back for it. It sounds like.
Yes. Yeah. So, oh man. Oh, I wish we had another hour to talk about this. But so this is a Monkey Island game, written and designed by one of the primary people working on it is like the primary guy who made Monkey Island 1 and 2, the guy who started the franchise, who made arguably two of the most popular games in the series. This is his big return to the franchise after, you know, 20, 30 years, however long it's been. There have been other Monkey Island games since Monkey Island 2, but he didn't have anything to do with those.
He did not have anything to do with number 3?
He did not. Not even number 3.
Wow, interesting. Because that's the only one I've actually played, but...
So you've never actually even played a Ron Gilbert Monkey Island game, then?
Didn't I play, like... There's like a specific tutorial, right? There's like a specific area where, okay, we end the tutorial and then we get to the actual game.
I do remember you playing like the first part of like Tales of Monkey Island and getting stuck and annoyed at that one.
Oh man, that was so... Yeah, I remember. I was not very happy with the that prologue section, which... the puzzle was you had to make root beer or something, and you had to make it out of plant roots, or I think that was it. And that was just not something which had ever occurred to me or would ever occur to me.
On a related topic, the prologue tutorial in Return to Monkey Island, I am possibly the most ashamed I have ever been to say that I got stuck in the tutorial and had to look up an answer on how to get out. The game has a built-in hint system, but I didn't get far enough for that hint system to have kicked in yet. I was at the part where, well, obviously a baby could get through this without any problems, and I got stuck.
Oh, man.
Felt real bad. Yeah, there's this part where you have to, like, we did everything in the game except this, in the intro, except for this one part where you have to find a coin and toss it into a wishing well, right? Couldn't find a coin anywhere. We did everything we could possibly think of. We went to, there's like a bathroom in the game, so we're looking everywhere in the bathroom. We're like interacting with the toilet. Okay, there's a drain. All right, nothing in the drain. Let's get a piece of string and a magnet or something. Drop them in the drain. All right, none of those things exist. Can't do that. Let's look in the puddle of water. No, nothing there. Okay, there's a store. Let's try to talk to the guy. Maybe he'll give us some change. No, okay. He has a cash register. Maybe if we distract him, we can get in the cash register. Nope, not a thing. Maybe there's a coin just in his shop. No. Like, stuff like that. Like, overthinking a tutorial about as wildly as you can possibly overthink anything. And then we finally looked it up. And you want to know what the answer was, Michael?
All right, I'm still not sure what the puzzle is, but yeah, let's hear the answer.
The puzzle is you needed to find a coin and put it in a wishing well and make a wish.
You need to find a coin. Okay. Like, is there a piggy bank you have to smash?
It's not even that complicated.
Oh, okay. Was it like on the ground or something?
It was on the ground next to the wishing well, Michael.
You just didn't notice it because it was 3 pixels.
I think that was it. So I think the tutorial was trying to teach us how to use, like, whatever button you use to highlight all the interactable objects on the screen. Like, I think it wanted us to learn how to do that here by putting this tiny object on a screen. But we didn't think to do that, and we didn't move the cursor around enough to find the coin. So we just had no idea where the stupid thing was, and I had to look it up, and it was like, okay, next step. Go to the wishing well. Go a foot away from the wishing well and pick up the coin on the ground. Like, oh.
So something similar happened to me with Great Ace Attorney 2 was the game came to a complete halt, grinding halt, because I did not notice one of the items that you absolutely have to look at inside the coroner's office, which ends up being a book. And that's one of like the final things in the trial, I believe, is... I mean, that's where it becomes important. The Ryunosuke mentions something that he read in that book. And so I was really able to solve that puzzle while playing the game, because it's like, okay, which of these 3 items should you talk about? And one of them's the book. And I'm like, the game came to a grinding halt because I did not look at the book. It's obviously the book. And so I actually solved the puzzle later on simply because that happened. Whereas I imagine if I'd found the book right away and then got to that part of the trial, I probably would have guessed wrong.
Video games, they're too tough.
It's something that's really, I guess, hard to do is to make sure there are items in a room. Like, if there are 5 items in a room and you want the player to be able to look at all of them, it can be tough. To make sure the player does it, or to let the player know, hey, you missed something there. I know in Nancy Drew series, often they'll have like the checklist there, and some of the games do it better than others. So it's like, well, you can't check off I explored the kitchen if one of the 3 things you didn't click on.
Yeah, I think with the new Monkey Island game specifically, if it was supposed to teach me how to use a hotspot highlighter, there should have been a pop-up that says, like, you can press shift to highlight all the objects on a screen. But there was no pop-up, so I don't know if the idea was I was supposed to be able to figure that out on my own or what, but I obviously didn't.
That's what they do in the Carol Reed series, is a pop-up shows up and says, hey, you can press the space button at any time, and it will show all the items on the screen that you can interact with. Of course, in that series, it's a lot of... it's a lot of exploring. It's rare that there's more than 2 items on screen at once that you can interact with, to be honest.
Yeah. We should probably wrap up, because I'm not sure how many minutes I have left on our free podcast server.
Oh, dear.
Okay. I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can
time limit reached.